Yesterday we had a chance to begin to work through this Gemara together. I want to recap and add a little bit to what we saw yesterday, and then we're going to sink our teeth in more deeply. Let's start just with the Ohalos background a little bit. So as he mentioned yesterday, there's a list of 15, 20 different items that are tame in and of themselves because of who or what they are. A mitzora, a stone from a house with saras, a mace, nevela, sheretz, and so on and so forth. And those we call generally avos hatzama. They are sources of tame. They are tame because of what they are. They didn't catch it from anyone or anything else. They are tame. And then you have vlados hatzama, that rishon l'tuma, shein l'tuma, and so forth, which would be Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, or Mashkim, which caught the tuma from some other item. Okay, it was transmitted. It was derived. And then when we look at the various Avos HaTumah, one of the fundamental questions to ask oneself, and that is the first question in Seder Taharos, because this is the focus of the first half of the first parak of Kalim, which is really an introduction to Seder Taharos, is each different Avos HaTumah have different modes of sharing their tumah. Some only share through physical contact, through maga, through touching, and others share it other ways as well. And there's one or two avos hatumah that actually do not share it through contact, only through other ways. Nivlas oftar. One of the uniquenesses of tumas meis, one of the several uniquenesses of tumas meis, is it transmits tumah not only b'magu v'masa, by touching or by being carried, but also ohel. That's what we started talking about yesterday. That ohel could either be that a person or thing is above the mace, your ma'ahil al ha-mace, or a person or thing is below the mace is an ohel over you, or you have the davar tahar, which is about to become tameh, the mace, or a significant part of the mace, and then there's an ohel. And they're both in the same ohel. They're both under the same ohel. It's ohel hamshacha. The ohel serves to spread the tumah across. And just to clarify what an ohel does, it's important to understand the Mishnayos point out. Those, I think I may have sent you to some of those Mishnayos in the Avshal Ma'am Kamos. It's important to understand that when you have an ohel, ohel does two opposite things. It spreads tumah horizontally, and it stops tumah vertically. And a classic ohel is both mevi esa tumah and chotzeitz b'fnei atem. So just to show you, in other words, here's your ground. So if you have an ohel that looks like this, and here's a person or a kli, whatever it is, and here's your mace, so if they're both under the same ohel, it's the ohel that qualifies as a valid ohel. So then the ohel is maybe as hatumah, it brings the tumah, meaning the tumah will now go here and here and here. Even though, let's say, this adam or this kli or this food is not above or below the mace, the tumah will now spread sideways. That's called maybe as hatumah, right? That's spread it horizontally throughout the entire expanse of anything under this ohel. That's maybe as hatumah. It's also chotzeis b'fnei hatumah, because tumah goes up until the ohel and stops there. A kohen would be allowed, in theory, to stand on the roof of a funeral parlor. Because if there's a mace in the funeral parlor, so inside, the tumah spreads throughout to the sides of, throughout the whole room, horizontally, but the tumah stops at the ohel and doesn't come to the other side. So if I'm up here, I'm fine. So it's maybe it's hatumah, horizontally spreads it. It's also chotzitz b'fnei hatumah, the ohel stops it from going vertically above or below. So if you have a multi-story building, so if I'm down here, in principle, I'm fine. Question?
A little bit of a practical question, I guess, which would be, does it spread sideways because of the god? Meaning, is it quote-unquote bouncing off the roof and coming in the rest of the room? Because the question that me and you were talking about, what we were learning was, like a courtyard. like walls on all sides, but you don't have a roof, or like a baseball stadium, right?
Right. So there's no roof.
There's no roof.
If there are walls but no roof, there's no transmission of tumah.
So
as a matter of fact, even if you have something like this, and you don't have to learn all this to get to this. You can learn the end of Masechah Shabbos to get this. Let's say I have a roof like this, and then the roof continues, but there's a break right over there. So if that break is a, once again, the shear is a tapach, and that break is a tapach wide, the tumah stops there. If you go to Boker Town, if you visit Boker Town Synagogue, the Rabbi Emeritus, Rabbi Kenny Brander, is a Kohen. Ephraim Goldberg is rabbi there now, I believe, is not a Kohen. Although my connection, my BRS connection to this sugya with him, is that Ephraim Goldberg and I both enjoyed learning the sugya of Rakik and Bava Basra by Rabbi Schefter very, very much. He actually, Goldberg had a special connection to the sugya of Rakik, and we'll talk about it some other time. But Rabbi Brander, under whom Bokratan, the shul existed beforehand, but it was under him that the shul grew from, I think, like 20 families to something like 600 families. And it was during his tenure that they built the present building. He's a Kohen. And one of the challenges of being a Kohen, the rabbinate, is how you deal with, how you handle Avaya. How to handle a Kvura, I once did officiate in the Beis HaKfaris, but that's incredibly complicated. It can only work in the winter. Because there's no tree cover. But I had a question, how do you handle Levaya? You want to speak, you want to give the hesped, but often you're going to be giving one of the key hesped. I mean, you're going to be officiating and presiding over the proceedings at the Levaya. You can't be inside. So you could give a hesped from the outside. Done that, but you can't sort of like lead. It's not the same as being present inside. So you can't lead the whole event. So Brander used this phenomenon, because if you visit the Boker Town Synagogue, you'll see that if you walk in, you're facing, if you're one of the seats facing the Aron Kodesh, the rabbi's office is to the right of the Aron Kodesh, and if you walk carefully, okay, but that's where the door to his office. If you walk over carefully, you'll see that there's a strip there that can be removed. They have protocols for how they set up the shul for a levaya, and one of the protocols, maybe now Goldberg is not a Kohen, so it could be now it's no longer an issue, but if Brander was there, part of the protocol is that the Chevra Kaddish will remove that strip that connected the rabbi's office to the rest of the building. And there's a space of a tefach wide, so the tumah stops there and doesn't jump in. So he would stand in his office with the door open and speak. But he was al pidin in a different building, and safe from the tumah. He couldn't walk into the main sanctuary because this main sanctuary is full of tumas meis. But there was that space of a tefach. So that's this thing. That's right. Absolutely. It's spread by the gag. As far as the gag goes, that's where the tumah goes. When the gag stops, the tumah stops. So it's going to spread all the way until here, and stop. So that's all those maybe a satumah, but it's also chotetz b'fnei hatumah. Whereas if you had, this is important terminology to be aware of, if you have tumah that's not inside inside an ohel, a chamal etzlan, a corpse out in the open. Imagine a battlefield. A corpse out in the open, so then the tumah does not spread to the side. That's what we call tumah ritzutza. It's sort of it's both the language that Tanam use is bokaz va'ola bokaz yoredes. The tumah goes all the way up, and the tumah goes all the way down. Neither does the tumah expand sideways because there's no ohel, nor is the tumah stopped from expanding vertically. There's no ohel to be maybe sideways, no ohel to be chotze it's the vertical. So this is a tumah ritzutza. And this is tumah in an ohel. This is bokaz va'ola bokaz yoredes, whereas this is a tumah in an ohel that's, again, ohel is maybe a tumah, and it's chos b'fnei hatumah. That's sort of the background, that's the basics of a host. And with that in mind, we appreciate the din that the Gemara is dealing with, which is that the shear of an ohel, that you also saw the background in the host, the shear of an ohel to be considered an ohel is you have to have tefach al tefach al rum tefach. You have to have a tefach by tefach by tefach, a tefach cubed that's covered by an ohel. Obviously, that ohel is an area of at least a tefach by a tefach, and the space below us really is tefach high. So once you have that, now that space is an ohel, again, both lakula and lachurma. Lakula, that above and below, above the ceiling, below the floor, the ohel is chos b'fnei ha-tumah, and lachurma, the tumah will spread to the sides. Okay. And so that is what the Mishnah, that the Mishnah Halos, that our Gemara paraphrases, was talking about. You have a Baishim Aluhu Tevin Otsraros. So you have the mace in inside a roofed area, and you're making an important point. When we think about Hilcha Shabbos, we think about being in an enclosed area. Think about having mechitzas on the sides. When we're talking to Olos, we care primarily about being a roofed area. Once it has a roof, the walls can play a role also, because the tumah might stop. Tumah can either stop because there's a break like that, or tumah can stop because there's a wall. And unless there's a window that's a tefach. But you're right, when you think about all this, it's primarily, it starts with the fact that it's a roofed space. So you have a roofed space, and the mace is inside a roofed space, but I filled up the rest of the space with stuff. So the question is it still an ohel, or now you don't have a tefach, a tefach, a rum tefach of empty space, now are we back to being tumah ratutza? And the tumah goes all the way up and all the way down and does not spread to the sides. So that was this Mishnah that our Gemara had paraphrased. Again, we saw yesterday, we saw a little bit of this long Tosas Dimas Labayas, who points out that our Gemara is paraphrasing the Mishnah. What did the Gemara say? Baisha Mila'ahu Tevin Otsraros, that was in Dalamud Aleph. You have a house. It used to be a perfectly open, perfectly normal house, and full of open space with a roof and walls, but then you filled it up with tevin, or you filled it up with gravel, with tsroros. Ubitlo. Mavuto. So if you mavato them, so then it's not considered to be batel. Now I say I have reframed, redefined what this looks like. This isn't walls with empty space. This is a solid block of stuff. It's like it's as though you had it's in a pile. You have a mace inside a sand pile. You have a mace inside a haystack. That's not an ohel. That's just bokas for all bokas to others. So if you're mevatel it, then it's mevatel. If not, not. So that's number one. I just wanted to recap and clarify, expand a little bit. I was just getting more clarity about the basics of olos, and then to be able to appreciate the significance of the shir tefach. And to preach the significance of what we're talking about, do you have a shir tafach? Do you not have a shir tafach? Is the stuffing batel, in which case you no longer have a shir tafach, or is the stuffing not batel, and you still retain your shir tafach? And the shir tafach is what's going to enable you both lahachamir, that maybe it's a tumma, and lahakil, that it's chotzeis bifnei hatumma. Questions about the olos piece before we go on? Okay? Okay, good. And now let's go back to re-chart. Question.
Is bokas an aleph or
an ayin? An ayin. Yeah, this is called tumor tzutza. And the din is bokas ba'ola bokas yoredes. And if it's a tumor ba'ohel, so then the din is instead the ohel is maybe the chotzeis. Right, so those are my two basic scenarios. Again, there's a lot more complexity in there, nuances. Maseches Aleph is Baruch Hashem a big, rich masechta, but this is these are the basics. Okay, that's the ohel piece. Yeah, question.
Yeah, what is one being mevatel in the Nias Shemulukum?
I'm sorry?
What is someone being mevatel?
Oh, you're planning to leave that stuff there. Okay. I'm stuffing the house, and this is going to be indefinitely, I'm filling up with gravel. As opposed to saying, no, I'm just leaving the gravel here for a little bit, I'm going to take it out. I have to leave the gravel somewhere. Or no, I'm planning to leave it there. Yeah, question.
Why, if you're not mevatel, say, like, obviously in the house,
Why if you're not mevatel ksenirat aver? Yeah, that's the key issue here. Again, I go back to the mashal I gave yesterday, the sugya on Daf Gimel, of bai sheish bo dal al dal. I said that din daraisa, the definition of bai that has dal al dal, with respect to all those din of mezuzah and makkah and so on and so forth. Right? So what do you mean dal al dal? Dal al dal, if I bring furniture in? If people walk, let's say I have a house that's exactly dal al dal house. The inner space, from wall to wall in size, dal al dal. Right? Good, it's a bayis chai mezuzah. Three people walk in. Well, now it's no longer dal al dal. Because some of the space got taken up by people. So now it's pater. I bring in a chair. Now it's not dal al dal. Now it's three and three quarter amas by 4 amas. Because the bench, the chair is taking up space. Right, so obviously not. Right, le'idach gisa, if I had a room that was 6 amas by 6 amas, 6 amas by 5 amas, let's say, is even better. 6 amas by 5 amas, but then I decide to, I do some construction. I want to make this into 2 smaller rooms. So I want to have a bedroom for this one, bedroom for that one. I had the 6 by 5 room, and I put a wall down the middle. Get a contractor, they put in a wall, shine. So that lechora now is no longer 6 by 5. Now it's a 5 by 3 and another 5 by 3, or however we broke up the space. And so clearly, that we're actually doing construction, that changes how we define the space. If a person walked in or I put in a chair, that does not change the space. Things aren't the same as walls. The question is, what our sugya is dealing with is where to draw the line. In the Dal Dal sugya, so many posts I mentioned yesterday are bachalik between furniture that's there, even if I don't plan to move it, versus something that's actually attached to the wall. So if I have a sink, I have a washing machine, so I have an oven, that's memayit, but if I have a counter, that's memayit. But if I put on a table, that's not mamayit. I don't say how you deal with the refrigerator might be sort of on the edge. It is plugged in. Is it a refrigerator? Is it easy to move? Is it hard to move? Is it sort of built into the wall? Not really built into the wall. So that sort of question is what our Gemara, a parallel question, what our Gemara is taking up. You're thinking about, whether you're thinking about the gova hasukkah, or you're thinking about the size of the ohel, or we're going to see also in terms of mechitzas for Shabbos purposes, that's what's going to come up in Erevin, and mechitzas maybe for more than one consideration, whether the question is there still Rishus HaYachid, or are these two spaces still divided by the mechitza, even though I put stuff against the wall, so is that permanent, is that not? Is that the stuff against the wall, but still a wall? Or no. So let's take a look. So that, but anything you're putting your finger on, that's sort of the key conceptual lamasha question that Gemara is trying to figure out. So how do we eat that? How do we actually unpack it? At what point do you say I change the walls? I change the space? Versus no, the space is a space. The karka is the same. If you like, you think about karka versus metaltum, right? Like you think about, like, you know, if I have a If I put out a cone on the street so that cars will be careful because their kids play in the street, that cone is not karka. That cone is metalful. It's sitting on the karka for now. Right? But if you dug a hole and poured concrete and stuck a stop sign in and let that dry, that's clearly mechubar l'karka. Right? The question is, at what point do you draw the line between, is it just the karka is the same and I just have some metalful here? Or no, I actually changed the karka. It's not the same as karka metalton, but it's certainly parallel. That's what we're asking. Did I change the space? Now there are new walls, new floors, new ceilings? I should measure things differently? No, it's the same floor room. It's just there's some stuff in the room. Is it bottle? Is not bottle? That's the Gemara I wanted to know. So let's now go through the Gemara again. Let's chart it, and then I want to start to build in some of the comments of the Rishonim. Ha'isik Gavol, may I will appreciate, hopefully, Rashi, and start to build in comments of other Rishonim. Ha'isik Gavol, may I ask Rama Ba'al Lama'ata Bakar Mirksasas. So again, here's, as Rashi points out, this is a comment from the Yamoran. You want to fix your problem of Lama'al May Asir Ma'ama by raising the floor. So that's great, but what you're going to do is pile on the pillows or the mattresses, lo havi mi'at, that does not work. Afagavda batlin, you mamish did bitzel. which Rashi says means bitl b'peh. Even if I'm doing mamish bitl, which is the best thing you could do, yes, but on the other hand, yeah, maybe let me do the chart differently than yesterday. I thought you're using karma ksasas. And that's the worst thing. You karma ksasas. Who's going to leave karma ksasas there? It's going to get ruined. And then you have better things to do with your mattress than step all over it. You want to sleep on it. You want it to be nice and clean and comfortable. Yeah. It's an expensive item. Karma ksasas can fault. So the Gemara says, karma ksasas, imi did mamish bitl, and lo batel. It's not batel. And from a sukkah standpoint, that means your sukkah is still possible. That's not batel. Okay. And so certainly, if you weren't even mevatel it, then it's clearly lo batel. That's clear. Even if you mamish mevatel it, yeah, but if you're dealing with the karma ksasas, pasnish. Right? Rashi said, you're not planning to leave it there, Kol Shiva. You're not planning to leave it there, Kol Shiva. And then, why? Because that's Batla Daita Itzakada. Okay, so that we saw yesterday. Then the Gemara goes on to say, how about Tevin? Or how about Offer? You have straw, which you're more likely to leave there than Karmic Zelsas. Or the best, sounds like to be Offer. Marsh dirt. So what's the story there? So if you're mevatel them, certainly Gemara says gevalt. A tevel bitlo havi miyut, it is batel. And if it's offer, it's most certainly batel. If you actually were mevatel it, how about if you weren't actively mevatel it? How about just tevin the ain asid lifanoso? Here's the Gemara adds the next column. It's not actual bitl, but ain asid lifanoso. You will not be moving it. Or the Gemara says, yet another case is where it stopped. A default, neutral, pyrov. I haven't really specified whether I plan to move or not. So the Gemara said, how about tevin veit asid lefanoso? It's straw, but you didn't actually do bitol, just ein asid lefanoso. What's the story there? And stam, offer when it's stam. What's the story there? Good. So the Gemara says is, great. Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi says, fine. Chacham say, not fine. Right? Well, that's Mishnah. The Mishnah indicates that this is no good. Because it's Mishnah Tawat, Tevin and Sroros, straw or hay, and gravel, which is the same as dirt. And there he says, you have to mash me mevatel it. If you weren't mevatel it, garden, take the chnish. It's not going to work. Lo bit, lo lo. So it sounds like, the Mishnah draws a line over here. Whereas the Biosi says, Tony Allah, we have a Braisa, the comments of that Mishnah, they tell you on the side that's a Tosefta, sort of the second string of material from the Tanaim, didn't make it into Mishnayos, but made it into the second line, Rechia Rashaya's collection of Tosefta. So Rabbi Yossi, many Toseftas are commenting on or amplifying Mishnayos. So yeah, Rabbi Yossi, in the Tosefta, according to Tosefta, disagreeing with the position that appears as a Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says in the Tosefta, well, Tevin ve'enosu lefanoso, here, this case, or offer Stam, Tevin ve'enosu lefanoso, harihu ka'offer Stam abatel. Rabbi Yossi says, these are fine. But offer of asul lefanoso, column number 4. You do intend to move it. It is explicitly, expressly temporary. So then, even though it's dirt, you might just plan to move it. So then, that's just as bad as
tevin stam.
Offer asul lefanoso reu kistam tevin below bottle. So if Yossi, I wish we had colors. If Yossi clearly draw the line like this, right? Whereas the Mishnah in Alas, which is the position of the Chachamim, they seem to draw a line like this. It has to be bittel. It has to actually be bittel. Okay. So that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara. Now, what are the things that, yeah, for your questions on this, how about Pashup Shah?
It seems like as you go farther left, the form of bittul or not bittul gets weaker and weaker.
Right. This is the strongest corner. That's why I reorganized the list. Right. You're most likely bittul. This is what you're doing, and this is what the material is. Offer more likely bittul than tevin, which is more likely bittul than mattresses. And if you actually be mevatel, it's better than just enos lefanosa, which in turn is better than stam.
Why is stam more stam? That's the question.
Oh, enos means you do not intend to take it out. Stam sounds like you don't really have a plan. Stam literally means unspecified. Parv.
Unspecified.
Now, what it sounds like, I think what you're bothered by is something I think you're perhaps attuned to a problem that brings us to Rashi's first chiddush. Ah, I see a man with colors. Thank you. I should have thought. Thank you. Great. Excellent. Good. So, let's talk about. Thank you very much. So this is. Let's just clarify the facts before we get into the explanation. Beautiful. This was our chart. And then just to use the red and the blue, for the lines where Rabbi Yossi explicitly says that this is where you draw the, this is where the difference lies. Right? Rabbi Yossi, anything to the right of this? Right? For Rabbi Yossi, it's Teven is fine if it's Bittul or at least Einasa Lefanosa, and Afra is fine if it's Bittul, Einasa, or Stop. That's our. But beyond these cases already are no good, even according to Bios. Right? These were low batel, even according to Bios. Just like Karam Uksasis are always low batel, according to Abba. Right? Where the Chachamim see, the way they go with Bidayat the Mishnah, Chachamim seem to be saying the line you should draw is here. Right? It has to, even offer a time, it has to be bittel. Now, the question I think that, and that brings us back to the point that Avi was bringing us to, was, what's going on here? Stam means, it seems like there are too many different options being crowded into a pretty small space. Stam, which is option three, is I don't really have a take one way or the other. Neutral. So what does Einos Lefanosa mean? Einos Lefanosa can't just mean I don't have necessarily an intent to move it. That's stam. The Einos Lefanosa has to mean I take intent not to move it. Right? But then, if Einos Lefanosa means I actively intend not to move it, isn't that bittul? Right? So it seems like a very crowded space, conceptually speaking. Right? Einos Lefanosa means really osed shelo lefanosa. L'chora. Because if I don't osed either way, that's stam. So this really sounds like it's a way of saying I plan to not move it. Not just I don't plan one or the other. But if I plan to not move it, it's Einos Lefanosa, isn't that bittul? So that's where the first chiddush that Rashi gives us in the sugya with a word. It's akasha. Well, once you start sort of trying to tease apart, this is why the charting helps. You see like what all the options are. So then you say, well, wait a second, how do you define all your turn? How do you define all the different options? So Rashi is sensitive to this kasha, and Rashi answered Kedarko Bakodesh with how many words? One. Oh, but it's a word that he says more than once. He writes. He says that same word twice. Does he? I believe so. Yeah. First, when you see, what's the word? Bepiv. Right? First he says, Tevnu bitlo bepiv l'shiva. You're about to with your mouth. Meaning, you actually said something. And if you didn't get it, Rashi sometimes doesn't give us this gift. Sometimes he'll just say it once, and he's supposed to get it. But here he actually, when you come to the, he says it subtly when you first come across bitlo. By the way, bitlo means bepiv. And then in case you didn't get it, When you get to the next case, Ein Os Lefanoso, he explains some more. Take a look at the next Rashi. Tev Me'ez Lefanoso, V'lo Yitzareich Lefanoso Kol Yimecha. You won't need to move it all of Sukkos. But Mihu, in other words, you're not going to move it. So now talking. Now here you have the Kasha. So isn't that bittel? Mihu lo bittel mamash pifit. But he didn't actually mivatul with his mouth. So here Rashi is being more explicit. It's the key is bepiv, but here he's being giving a little more than a word. So clearly Rashi is telling us the difference between this and this. Rashi says this is bepiv. Whereas this is b'machshava. I do intend to leave it here, but I didn't say it. So bitul, and then, by the way, so then the next thing to think about, so that's sort of Rashi number one. Another point is this also impacts, what's the issue? Right. What's the issue? What are the Tanam debating? So how we understand, well, what Tanam are debating is, does it have to be expressed? Does it hear her work, or does it have to be verbalized? That sounds like that's what the debate is about. Right? So we understand this line very well. Left of this line is all just a question of what's in my head. But no matter how good, whether I intend to take it out, or I don't have any intent, or I intend to leave it here, but it's not articulated. So Rabbi Yossi is willing to work with a world of unarticulated feelings, and the Chacham say, no, blue line. And you have to have bitul peh. Which means, by the way, it brings to issue number two, which is what? Looking at the chart, we noticed yesterday, there's an obvious question that leaps. One question we had left over yesterday is, what's the difference between bitul and lefanoso that we just raised again and saw Rashi gives an answer. The other question that leaps to the eye looking at this chart is right, there's an empty space here. We never said anything about offer ve'eros lefanoso. What's going on over there? We spoke about Teven and Asavanoso, Teven Stam. We spoke about Afar Stam and Afar Asavanoso. How about here? So what's clear and what's not clear about here? What's clear about this case of Afar and Asavanoso, which Tana has a clear approach? I'm not sure about that. Rav Yossi, right? Rav Yossi says even Afar Stam is okay. Yosef even telling himself also is okay. So clearly Yosef is going to say, this is fine. Right? But the question is, how about the Chachamim? We know the Chachamim don't hold these. The Chachamim do hold these. Well, how about here? So Rashi says, let's keep going. Offer nasan bo stam. Rashi now explains. Stam means ein yodua masavanosan. We're not sure what's going to happen. There isn't a clear plan. That's consistent with how we were saying Stam before. Machlokas, Rabbi Yosef, and the Chachamim. V'chein offer ve'ein asufano. So Rashi, right away, the very first thing he says, Rashi was clearly thinking about this chart, and he's very attuned to the fact that Kasha is clear on the top of Rashi's mind is, one second, there's a missing case we haven't spoken about. What's the story with us offer ve'ein asufano? So, and Rashi said, immediately, and the same is true for offering al svanoso. Also, yeshva machlokas. In other words, of course, Rabbi Yosef holds it's fine, and the Chum holds it's not fine. The way I drew the blue ones, right? That it has to be mamish batel, even for offer. Even though you could say, look, offer is dirt, blends in very naturally. Dirt really blends in. No. If it's not no bittel, nothing to talk about. The what Rashi says, the bottle of Yossi, mistama. Offer is bottle of Yossi, even if it's stam. I feel a bit little bit piv. So certainly in a case where you intend to leave her there, but you haven't been done bit little bit piv. Rabbanon lo bottle. Racham would say no. So Rashi asked the question one second. The Racham would say this is no good. Why are you talking about the case of stam? Well, why do we talk about this case? Racham would say even this case is no good. Even offer stam is even offer inos lefanoso is no good unless you're mevata. Why don't we say this case? Tell you how? Tell you the chiddush that the chum hold even this case is no good. Mishum Kalcha to Rabbi Yossi. The reason why I talk about this case is to tell you how far Rabbi Yossi pushes his shita. We could have spoken about this case, say the Chamul, even this case is no good. But instead, we talk about this case, Afar Stam, to say even Afar Stam, Rabbi Yossi holds is fine. Dafilu Stam, says Rashi. If it's dirt, Rabbi Yossi says, you don't even have to know for sure, as long as it's an open question, batel. Whereas Tevin already is that's not enough. That Rabbi Yossi makes that distinction. That's this horizontal red line. Rabbi Yossi thinks that, but Stam is good enough for Afar, but Tevin already is sort of in between Afar and Karmic Sussis. It would be reasonable to leave it there, but it's not as clear you mean to leave it there. After all, it's Royal Behema, La Hasaka, La Tip. You could use it for making cement, you could use it for animal feed, you could use it for fuel for a fire. Hilkach Stam Elabata for Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so Rashi lays it out like this. Right? These three cases are machlokas, and this was driving the chamim, this was driving Rabbi Yossi. So this is, Rashi tells us that this is Rashi Chiddush number two, that this case is also machlokas. In other words, while the Rabbi Yossi clearly holds it's fine, chachamim hold it is not fine. And there's one more issue that Rashi raises. But before that, if you have questions of understanding, things aren't clear, yeah?
If Rashi didn't really give a reason, he just said, it's no good.
Correct. Rashi does not give a reason why. Rashi says it's no good, we're going to have to figure that out. But it's clear that the line is drawn tightly along a question of, is there bitl or not? Now, Rashi told us that bitl versus Einan L'Fanosa, what this means is the bepeh or not. So apparently, according to Rashi, put the two pieces together, Rashi is saying that, Chacham hold, you need bitl bepeh. Nothing is batel without bepeh. I mean, maybe if you built it in, if you actually like cemented it in, you probably don't need bitel bepeh. But you just put stuff there, if it's not a mechubar, then there's no bitel unless it's mamash bitel bepeh. That's clearly the sheet of Rashi. You can still wonder more why. There's still more to be dug, and we're going to be digging more into the other Rishonim here, just try to figure out. Look at the Rishonim, will help us to appreciate Rashi also. But again, putting together this photo for the two pieces of Rashi, he's saying that the Chacham demand the pet. Always. Even if it's Afar, Chacham demand the pet. Yeah?
When by Karim and Sassos it says Lobot, that means you can't, but when it says by Tevin, Lobot, that means you don't have to. Is that correct?
No, it doesn't work. If you leave Tevin there and you don't have intent either way, even Rabbi Yossi agrees that does not change the floor. Yeah. I'm sorry?
There's no tzorach for you to use it. Is that different than just having a
shava? Oh, you're not going to have the need to take it out. You're saying, why he just say he doesn't plan to? Why are we saying he doesn't need to? No, but that, I think Rashi is trying to explain why he... Now, there's the Karmuk Sassos. The Karmuk Sassos, you're going to need to take it out because it's going to get ruined. Whereas here, and I think he's trying to explain this, the logic of the case, I believe. Yeah?
What was Rashi's first chiddush?
Rashi's first chiddush was that the difference between the case, bitl means bitl bepeh, and that explains the difference between bitl versus enel sfenoso. Even though enel sfenoso means you, even though Ephraim is pointing to that strange terminology, enel sfenoso seems to mean you intend to not take it out, but bitl is still a step further because what's different is that it's actually the peh.
And can you explain Rashi from the Hadanakar Afar in all that parts of
the world? I'm sorry?
Can you explain Rashi from the Hadanakar Afar Stam?
Oh, he says that the reason why when we spoke about this case as opposed to this case, we spoke about Afar Stam being Machlokas as opposed to Afar Nafan also being Machlokas, is that way it shows you that. If we were discussing Einan L'Fanosa, that would show you the extent of the Shita of the Chacham, the Koach of the Chacham. Even this case, they say, is no good. But instead, we chose to talk about this case to say, even Rabbi Yossi holds that even this case is good. And after all, it makes a lot of sense that we're trying to show you Kochod Rav Yossi, because the Brisa that talks about it is Kochod Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi is formulating what his shita is. So his shita is that even this case is good. If it was a Chacham speaking, it would be even this case is no good. So, but let's start. But I'm glad to do that afterwards. We have a couple of minutes left. And I want to at least bring out a third issue, which we'll unpack more fully, which is what you saw that we showed him are handling with, and that is the question of how long. Right, the third chiddush of Rashi is bittul means bepeh, but bittul, the content, the way you do bittul is bepeh, but the content of it, what is it that I'm saying? I'm saying that I plan to leave you there for how long? So Rashi keeps says more than once, several times, at least four times. Rashi says it means for 7 days. Right? Rashi says in the bottom Rashi in Gilan Beis, and then the first three Rashis on Dalam and Alf. He keeps saying L'chol Shiva, L'chol Shiva, and then the last time he says it in the third Rashi in Dalam and Alf, Diba Mascho Tevin Ve'Oso L'Fanoso. He finally says, guys asked yesterday, well, what's the meaningfulness of Shiva? So that's what he explains. He only needs to move it for the entirety of Yom Tov. It's not just that like 168 hours is considered to be permanent. The point is that our horizon is only Sukkos. As Rashi is telling us, something that many Rishonim agree with, not all, as you may already have seen, B'chavrusim, we'll see together Mitzvah tomorrow. Rashi is telling us that from the point of view of Sukkos, permanent means until the end of Sukkos. It's all relative. A Sukkah is no longer a Sukkah after Sukkos is over. It might be physically standing there, but it loses its significance. So the horizon of permanence just means for as long as this is a relevant halacha concept, which in the case of Sukkos is Shiva. So as long as it's going to be there until the end of Sukkos, for Rashi, that's as good as forever. That's something that how many guys saw the Russian side? How many guys saw the Radin side? The Rif? Okay, so you saw, that's a major issue. Rabbeinu Hananel disagrees. Maybe let's take a peek now at least at the Rush. Let's take a peek now in the remaining minutes at the Rush. It's a rich Rush. And the Rush begins Sif Beis by reviewing the Gemara, really quoting the Rif. That's what the Rush does. He took the language of the Rif and then added more material from Baal HaTosfos. So the first half is basically clipped quotes from the Gemara that summarizes how we paskin. And it says, Halacha Karab, halfway through a Sif Beis, Halacha Karabanon, Shite. Right, so we paskin like the Karabanon. Okay. Machlokes Rebbe Yosef Chachamim, we're following the blue line, not the red line. We're following the Shita of the Chachamim, not the Shita of Rebbe Yosef. They go on to say, Kol Biltel Deshmaitin Pirish Rashi Lezayin Hayamim. Rashi says, every time we say Biltel, we mean 7 days. But not everyone agrees. Rebbeinu Hananel and Rebbeinu Abiha Ezri Pirishu Ad Olam. Rebbeinu Hananel and the Rav Yah, they say, no, Biltel means forever, mamish forever. You have no plans. It's going to stay here indefinitely. Not that you can promise that 15 years from now it won't be there, but you intend to leave it for the foreseeable future. Venirek, so that's a big machlokes, and that's a major nafkamina. It's going to come up all the time. Halacha l'maisa. Avosuk is too high, so I'm going to put some stuff in. But to say I'm going to leave it there for 7 days is very different than saying I'm going to leave it there indefinitely. I'll buy a couple bags of dirt. I'll bring in bales of hay. I don't need the hay anyway. I have so much hay. I have more than enough for the horse to last the horses the next 2 weeks without this. So I have a couple extra bales of hay. I'll put them in. I'll leave them there until the end of Sukkos. That's very different than saying we're leaving there forever. Yikes. So the Rashi, who's being Mekul? Rashi is a big hula. Rav Yah and Rebbeinu Hananel is a major chumra. And leave heaven there forever? And then he goes on to say, which we'll pick up with, he points out that tomorrow we'll see the Rush and the Ran each give quote the machlokas and bring a raya to Rashi. There's some see we did this. There are nuances learned from each one. And we see specifically what the Rashi, what Rush is adding, will help us in other directions as well. I'm about to say enjoy your lunch.